This is Crime Binge.
Welcome to Crime Binge,
the podcast.
I'm Morgan.
And I'm Sarah.
And this week, we are on episode 76, where we are going to be covering Ronald Jean Simmons.
And in December of 1987, Ronald Jean Simmons went on a shooting spree in Russellville, Arkansas, where he shot six people. After he was arrested, it was discovered that his spree had actually begun days earlier with his own family.
Yes, this case is wild.
And I'm going to say it now so I don't interrupt it later.
Yeah.
But every time I hear his name, I think of Gene Simmons from Kiss. And so I had to look it up and see who was born first. And this guy was born 8 years before Gene Simmons from Kiss. So he didn't steal the name.
That's good. I'm proud of him. Earlier, you messaged me saying Richard Simmons.
Oh, fuck.
Which I thought was also funny. And I was like, this episode is going to be a difficult one for us.
It is.
But yeah, this guy, one, he has a very silly name, but also is an asshole, basically.
Yeah.
That's
and
all it is.
His crimes spanned across Christmas time.
Yes.
And also, Merry Christmas to anyone who celebrates it.
Yeah. This is, if you are listening to the day our podcast gets released, it is the day of Christmas.
It sure is.
I don't know why I couldn't say Christmas in a normal way, but we hope that you are enjoying it in whatever way you are choosing to celebrate and that you are safe and sound wherever you are.
Exactly.
You know, and if you want to be getting crunk today because you can at 9 a.m., then do it.
Oh, I'm going to have so many mimosas, it's going to be ridiculous.
Yeah, like, that's what Christmas is to me, is, like, waking up and just slamming mimosas down.
I'm ready to be shit-faced by noon.
So then I can take a nap and then recoup for dinner later.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah. That's the way Christmas is done. But before we get into today's episode, what is your binge, Sarah?
So this week, or last Friday, so like 2 weeks ago when this podcast comes out, season 4 of Big Mouth came out.
Oh, nice.
And so I've been watching that.
Yeah.
And this season takes place at a summer camp. Mm. And every season they like kind of introduce a new character. Like last season was the Shame Wizard, I believe. And this season is the anxiety mosquito.
Nice.
And so, like, everyone deals with a bunch of anxiety.
Yeah.
And they also bring in a transgender person for this episode. Cool. Or this season.
Yeah.
And even though it's, like, a huge comedy show, I think they did it pretty tasteful. I mean, I'm not trans myself, so I don't know how someone who is would feel.
Yeah.
But they kind of go over, like, the person who is trans came as a male before to the summer camp and is now coming as a female and kind of like her struggles on whether she's gonna bunk with the boys or the girls and how her peers now see her and stuff like that. And I think they did it really tastefully.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah,
I'll have to give it a check out.
Yeah. And they also like they have Seth Rogen as a new character.
Yeah.
John Oliver's a new character this season, so
yeah, it's pretty good. I saw like a commercial, and I was like, I hear John Oliver.
Yes.
Or like, you know, when Netflix just plays the stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's the camp counselor.
Very cool.
But yeah, I've always loved Big Mouth.
Yeah.
It's still just as graphic as ever. But this season has been good so far. I'm only about halfway through it.
Nice.
Yeah.
Very nice. Yeah, that's a good show. I think I only watched the first two seasons, but I really liked it when I watched it.
Yeah.
So
I love Nick Kroll. Like,
yeah.
I didn't know who he was beforehand, but now I love him.
I hated him only because he plays the douche on Parks and Rec.
Yeah.
And he always plays that type of character in shows. Mm-hmm. So, like, I always just had that impression that he was, like, the fucking worst.
Yeah.
But then it's, like, he's a comedian and that's a character.
Yeah, he's
like,
a good actor.
So I hate him less now. You know, I actually don't hate him. But I used to think he was annoying.
So what are you binging this week, Morgan?
Well, we knew it was coming eventually, you know? But this week I am binging Taylor Swift's new album,
okay.
Evermore.
Yes.
You know, the sister album to Folklore. I almost forgot the name of the other one and was like struggling there for a moment. But yeah, this one is just as good as the first one, I think. I still like listening to Folklore more only because I've listened to it more times already.
Yeah, and you know the songs already.
Yeah. So that one's like still my fav, but I do really like Evermore, and there are a lot of really fun songs on there. Like, she has a couple of different, like, not different genres, but she plays with actual music sounds in them. Like, there's a couple of funky beats and things that she doesn't normally, like, play with, I think. So it's really fun. I like it. And I found out a fun fact about the song Marjorie, so I'm forcing everyone else to also learn the fun fact. So it's written about her grandma. And her grandma was also, like, a singer, like an opera singer.
Oh.
So in part of that song, she says, like, and I can almost still hear you singing. And you can hear her actual grandmother singing on the song back to her because she found records of her grandma singing.
Stop, I'm gonna cry.
I literally cried when I found out. I don't even like have a connection to grandmothers because all of mine passed, like,
yeah,
you know,
same.
In a way where I wasn't connected to them yet, and even I was like, I am sobbing. That is so beautiful. And like the song finishes out with her grandma like singing along with her. It's fucking beautiful.
That is,
you know,
wow,
just true genius. But yeah, it's a good one. I highly recommend. Champagne Problems is fun. There's a lot of fun songs on there. So
nice. Yeah, I've only heard a couple. Like, I think Willow is on the radio a lot.
Yeah, like Willow is like the big single from this song that like had a music video that played off of a music video from Folklore. Like, they connect to each other.
Oh, okay.
So that one's like the big one. It's good. I like it a lot too, but I like the other ones as well. They're fun. But yeah, I'm just over here being a T-Swizzy stan like usual.
I mean, she's great.
She is great. I love her. Anyway, now I guess let's get on to our horrible Christmas adventure.
Right? Let's let's dampen the Christmas mood.
Yes.
All right, guys. So Ronald Gene Simmons was born on July 15th, 1940, in Chicago, Illinois, to Loretta and William Simmons. When he was 3 years old, his father passed away from a stroke, and his mother remarried within the year, which is quick, to William D. Griffin, who was a civil engineer for the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers.
Yeah.
In 1946, the family had to move to Little Rock, Arkansas, as Griffin had been transferred there for work. In 1957, at the age of 17, Ronald dropped out of school and joined the Navy. He was first stationed at Naval Station Bremerton in Washington, where he met a woman named, I'm gonna fuck this up, Bersabe Rebecca Ilibari? I'm guessing.
That was a very good guess. I also am not sure.
Yeah. But she went by Becky, so that's what we're going to call her.
Exactly.
The two began dating and eventually got married in New Mexico on July 9th, 1960. And over the course of the next 18 years, the couple would go on to have 7 children.
Yep.
That's a lot of mouths to feed.
Yes.
In 1963, Ronald decided to leave the Navy and then 2 years later joined the U.S. Air Force. He then stayed in the military for the next 20 years, where he was awarded a Bronze Star Medal, the Republic of Vietnam Gallantry Cross for his service as an airman, and the Air Force Ribbon for excellent marksmanship. And he eventually retired on November 20th, 1979, with the rank of Master Sergeant.
Only 2 years after retiring, Ronald was under investigation by the Crowdcroft, New Mexico Department of Human Services for allegations that he had fathered a child with his 17-year-old daughter, Sheila.
That is never good.
No, that's the worst. Yes. I hate it. There were reports that each morning he could be seen giving her more than, like, friendly goodbye kisses before school because, we'll find out later, he almost viewed her, like, in a relationship manner, mm-hmm. and, like, it's your daughter, so don't be that way. But Sheila eventually admitted to a school counselor that she was pregnant and it was with her father's child, so charges were filed immediately.
Good.
Yes. 3 indictments of incest were filed against him for this, so he fled New Mexico to Ward, Arkansas, and then eventually showed up in Dover, Arkansas, a year later. These indictments were actually later dropped in New Mexico because they couldn't find him, and they were dropped, like, within about a year or so. The family began living on a 13-acre tract of land 6.5 miles north of Dover. This area would become known as Mockingbird Hill, and this was given by Ronald.
Mm-hmm.
The house itself was built from 2 older model mobile homes joined to form 1 large home. It didn't have indoor plumbing or a telephone, and it also had a makeshift privacy fence surrounding it that was up to 10 feet high in places. But can you imagine...
A family of 9.
With no indoor plumbing, love.
I would die.
That sounds truly terrible. I mean, maybe that just makes us extremely privileged sounding.
It does.
But that sounds just not good at all.
And, like, this is also, like, we're in modern times. It's not,
yeah,
like...
Yeah, this is 87.
Yeah,
no, it's... Yeah. This is, like, around 87.
Yeah, it's not like there wasn't indoor plumbing in these trailers beforehand. They probably just took it apart when they conjoined it or something.
Yeah, and it didn't, like, have it anymore, and they didn't want to redo it. The drive leading up to the house was also, like, made of a red clay, so it was badly rutted, just, like, huge holes all mm-hmm. over it, and with several large no trespassing signs around the yard. You know the house, you guys.
Oh, yeah.
You can picture the house. And other than reports of sexual child abuse, school officials really didn't spot anything strange with the children. And this new school didn't know of any of the previous child sexual abuse. Because
mm-hmm, they dropped it.
Yeah. They showed up to school on time, dressed cleanly and nicely, and none of the kids had records of disciplinary action, so the school was like, they're fine. They also had, like, almost perfect attendance, which is not the typical fitting child for, like,
needing abuse or, yeah.
According to, like, social services and stuff. And the children didn't, like, necessarily excel at their studies, but they didn't fail either. They were just average students. And overall, they were quiet and withdrawn students as well, so they didn't really draw any attention or suspicion towards them. But although they didn't get a lot of attention at school, their friends did note that they were, like, rarely allowed at the house, and no one was allowed to stay for a sleepover. Like, friends would go over for maybe 2 hours at a time.
Mm-hmm.
And one girl specifically noted that she said it felt like when Ronald looked at you, he was giving you a look that suggested he wanted you to leave.
That's crazy being a child and picking up on that.
Yeah, like, that you can feel that this adult doesn't want you there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, while the family was in Dover, Ronald worked a series of low-paying jobs in the nearby town of Russellville, Arkansas. He quit a position as an accounts receivable clerk at Woodline Motor Freight after numerous reports of inappropriate sexual advances.
Yeah.
And he then went to work at Sinclair Mini Mart for about a year before quitting on December 7th, 1987. And in the days leading up to Christmas, Ronald decided to kill his whole family. Ronald had his children dig a 4-foot ditch in the yard, saying it was for an outhouse, but it would actually become their grave.
Which is just horrible.
Oh, yeah. Like, you can't even do the fucking work yourself.
Yeah, I hate when people make others dig their own grave. Mm-hmm.
On the morning of December 22nd, Ronald went to the local Walmart and bought a .22 caliber pistol and some ammo. And this is obviously when you could buy guns at Walmart.
Yeah.
And once he returned home, he bludgeoned and shot his wife, Rebecca, and also shot his eldest son, Gene. He then turned on his 3-year-old granddaughter, Barbara, and strangled her. He then waited for the 4 other kids who were still living at home to come back from school. The Dover school bus dropped them off to begin their summer break. So this was their break. Or Christmas break. So this was their last day at school before Christmas.
Yeah.
Ronald told the children that he had presents for them, but wanted to give them out one at a time, so he sent his children to their rooms. He first called Loretta out, who was 17, and then began strangling her and holding her under the water in a rain barrel until she died. And the 3 other children, Eddie, Marianne, and Becky, were all killed in the same way.
Yeah, so this guy is a real piece of shit.
Yeah, like, killing your own family is one thing, but I feel like killing your grandchildren is another thing.
Yeah.
And, like, we'll see, they get even younger than 3 years old.
Yeah, because he doesn't stop there with Mm-mm. killing his family. The horror continued, and on December 26th, when the remaining members of the family showed up for the annual, like, after Christmas visit, he was a terrible person.
Sure was.
Around noon, Billy, Ronald's son, and his wife, Renata, arrived and were both shot. He then proceeded to strangle their 20-month-old son, Trey.
That's just a baby.
Yeah. Less than an hour later, his daughter Sheila and her husband Dennis arrived, where they met the same fate. With them was the child Ronald had fathered with Sheila, and her name was Sylvia. She was 7 years old at the time, and Ronald strangled her. And his last victim of the day was his 21-month-old grandson, Michael, who he also strangled. Ronald proceeded to dump 7 of his family members in the backyard and then left the rest of the members inside, covering the body with coats. These bodies were placed in neat rows, and Sheila was also the only body not covered in a coat. She was instead wrapped in her mother's best tablecloth, which I think is really weird as well.
Mm-hmm.
And the bodies of the 2 grandsons were wrapped in plastic sheeting and put in different cars, like, on their property.
Yeah, and it's like, this is the day after Christmas.
Yeah.
And strangling is so personal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and, like, also, he just sat at home with, like, all of his family's members' bodies. Mm-hmm. Which is horrible to think about, too.
So, after these murders, he drove into Russellville to go to the local Sears. He had to pick up some Christmas gifts that he had ordered, but that he hadn't picked up yet. And, in case you were interested, the items were 2 girls' watches, a woman's hairstyling machine, a box of 24 children's books, and an array of games.
And I would say that's some pretty decent presents, because there were already presents under the tree that were wrapped. These mm-hmm. were just the ones that hadn't come in yet.
And I feel like, would a woman's hairstyling machine be like a curling iron or something?
I'm assuming it was like probably one of those contraptions of the day that's like, look at these curling rods, mm-hmm. you know, like something crazy.
That like got your hair all caught up and then you had to rip your hair out in order to use it.
Yeah.
So, once he had these gifts, which, like, why did he pick them up? Because his family was dead, but whatever. Yeah. He went to a local bar and started to drink. He then came home and continued drinking and just watched TV while surrounded by his family's bodies.
Yeah.
However, the spree did not end here. On the morning of December 28th, he drove into Russellville in a car that belonged to his son, Ronald Jr. Once in town, he went to Walmart, where he purchased a second gun. His first stop after this was the Peel and Eady law firm, where he walked in and he shot Kathy Kendrick 4 times in the head.
Yes, which is a bit overkill, if you ask me.
She was the receptionist that Ronald had previously been infatuated with, and like she had turned down his advances. Like, yeah. She was the one that he was getting in trouble with at work, and he had to quit and stuff.
Yeah.
And after this attack, it was reported that Ronald had recently begun making advances towards her again. Supposedly, he would send her notes and flowers and sometimes even show up at her door, even though he knew that she was married. And police were called to this scene at around 10:17 a.m., but he was already gone.
Next on his list was the Taylor Oil Company. Here, he shot Rusty Taylor, the owner, who survived, thankfully, and an employee, Jim Chafin, who passed away. Scared workers at the oil company called the police around 10:27, but Ronald was already on his way to his third location, the Sinclair Mini Mart. At the Mini Mart, he shot 2 more employees who survived, and there was actually someone in the store who ducked behind an aisle of groceries and started throwing cans of soda at Ronald to get him to leave, which I think is fantastic. Mm-hmm. Use the what hero. You got. Yeah. And he did leave. The police were called around 10:39 for reports of more gunshots.
So this is, what, only 12 minutes after the last report?
Yeah, like, each one is so close to the other one. Mm-hmm. His final stop was the Woodline Motor Freight, where he shot and wounded a woman named Joyce Butts. He told the secretary, "I've done what I wanted to do, and now it's all over. I've gotten everybody who hurt me." And then he took her into the computer office at gunpoint to call the police around 10:48 a.m. And it is believed that Ronald actually went after Joyce because she was his supervisor previously and had to tell him to stop making advances against Kathy, and mm-hmm. then ultimately, like, had to fire him. So that was why he was going after Joyce as well. When the police did end up showing up, Ronald handed over his gun and surrendered without any resistance. He was done. He had finished what he needed to do.
He just sat there and fucking waited for the police. Like, yeah. Didn't try to run, nothing.
It really freaks me out. I hate it.
I know.
In all, this rampage only took 45 minutes, where he was able to kill 2 and injure 4.
And I heard that one of the ones that survived, like, I don't remember which, but they were in, like, such critical condition. It was, like, touch and go. So it's not like he just shot them in the arm. Yeah. Like, he critically injured these people.
I'm pretty sure it was Joyce, because Joyce was the only one he said he wanted specifically to die. Mm-hmm. And she didn't die, but I'm pretty sure that she was the one that was critically injured, because if she hadn't have gone down like she was dead, mm-hmm. I don't think he would have surrendered, you know? Yeah. I think he would have kept shooting her.
So the police reached out to Ronald's family, and when they were unable to reach anyone, they went to the Simmons residence, where they made the horrible discovery that the spree had actually just ended rather than just began.
Yeah.
They discovered the family at the home, and while searching the grounds, they found the infants in the trunks of the 2 separate cars. After being in custody, Ronald was sent to the Arkansas State Hospital in Little Rock, Arizona. Not Arizona, in Arkansas. Duh. For a competency evaluation, where Dr. Irving Kuo found him sane and capable of standing trial. The main question that was asked was, why did Ronald kill his entire family? And there are a couple of theories as to why and what they could be, but he never gave a public answer. The first theory was that Ronald had learned his wife was secretly planning a divorce, and this drove him into a murderous rage. Shortly before the murders, Rebecca had written to their son, "I don't want to live the rest of my life with Dad. I'm a prisoner here, and the kids too. Every time I think of freedom, I want out as soon as possible."
And I read, like, the full letter that these excerpts are from. And she, like, starts off the letter by saying she wants to leave him. Mm-hmm. And then, like, talks about just family stuff and ends it being, like, I want to leave him. Like,
yeah.
She says it multiple times within just this single letter to her son.
Yeah, she's done.
Yeah.
Other witnesses later came forward to say that they had noticed bruises on Rebecca's face and arms on numerous occasions in the past. So he was most likely abusing her physically.
Yeah.
Another was that he had continued to make advances towards his daughter Sheila, and she denied them, eventually marrying someone and moving out of the house.
Yeah, which
would devastate
really pissed him. Off. Yeah. Especially because, like, the way that he acted towards her, from all accounts, was just, like, very relationshipy. And it's, like, it's your daughter, sir.
Yeah, much more romantic than fatherly.
And that's not what that was at all.
Yeah, she definitely didn't want that.
Oh, no, definitely not. So, he had two separate trials. And they were done basically like you killed your whole family and then you went out to the public and killed. Mm-hmm. Those were the two trials. After the first one, he was convicted on May 12th, 1988 for the deaths of Kendrick and Chaffin. He was sentenced to death by lethal injection plus 147 years. In the second trial, which ended on February 10th, 1989, Simmons was also found guilty of 14 counts of capital murder, and he was also sentenced to be lethally injected in this case.
Imagine killing 14 members of your family. That's so much, like,
yeah,
heavy work. Like, you have to be exhausted afterwards because that's so much to have to do.
Yeah, it's a lot, especially, like,
not just shooting
so many people in your family too.
It is,
like, to just shut your emotions off and kill. During the second trial, the prosecution also brought up a note that they found in Ronald's safety deposit box that was described as a love-hate letter to his daughter Sheila. This note was presented as a possible motive for the murder. So the judge decided it could be used during the trial. This angered Ronald so much that he actually punched the prosecutor in the face and then tried to get a guard's gun away from him. He was eventually subdued and just put in more chains.
Yeah, and it was like he didn't care about anything else besides that letter. That's like the only thing he had like a visceral reaction to.
Yeah, and that letter is where people see, like, the more romantic feelings, too. Yes. And something unusual from this case is that Ronald didn't appeal any of his death penalties, saying, "To those who oppose the death penalty, in my particular case, anything short of death would be cruel and unusual punishment." He made an additional statement under oath supporting this sentencing, saying, "I, Ronald Gene Simmons Sr., want it to be known that it is my wish and my desire that absolutely no action by anybody be taken to appeal or in any way change this sentence. It is further respectfully requested that this sentence be carried out expeditiously." Honestly, it kind of pisses me off how quickly he got to die on death row, because he didn't have to sit with his feelings at all. He just, like, got to die.
Yeah, I felt like it, you know, kind of would have been easier to have just killed himself when he was done shooting everyone he wanted to shoot.
Yeah.
But I guess it's better for the victims because they actually get that justice.
Yeah, there was like the actual justice. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I think he should have rotted in jail for a few years longer.
Yeah.
You know?
Definitely. I do also think he's a big fat coward.
After Ronald waived all rights to an appeal, a case was filed called Whitmore versus Arkansas, which challenged this right. Reverend Louis Franz and Jonas Whitmore contended that Simmons using his right to refuse appeal in fact jeopardized the appellate rights of other death row inmates.
Makes sense.
Yeah. They're basically like, you're fucking it up for everyone else. Mm-hmm. By a 7-2 vote, the Supreme Court justices threw out this appeal. However, the ongoing legal proceedings had prevented the execution of Simmons from being carried out. And Simmons was actually watching TV and eating what he believed to be his last meal when the news of his stay of execution was announced.
So that had to have been like hours before he was planning on being executed. Yeah. While Ronald was on death row, he often had to be kept away from the other prisoners as his life was threatened constantly. The other prisoners were mad that he refused to appeal his death sentence because, like she said, they felt like it ruined their chances of beating their own death sentences.
I just found it interesting because it actually wasn't for what he did at all. Mm-hmm. Like, they weren't trying to kill this guy for his family. Yeah. They were just like, you're fucking it up for us, dude.
Exactly.
Which I think is very strange, but also kind of funny.
So, on May 31st, 1990, Arkansas governor at the time and later president, Bill Clinton, signed his execution warrant. And this was the quickest sentence to execution to death time in United States history since the death penalty was reinstated in 1976.
Yeah, it usually takes years and years and years and years before you go under the death penalty because people have all the rights to appeals and stuff.
Exactly. And like, I always bring this up, but it's just the case I know best. But like with Carly Brucia, he was put on death row, 10, 12 years ago or something mm-hmm. like that. And he just recently got a new sentencing trial because of the laws and this and that. So if they had executed him right away, he wouldn't have had that chance. So it makes sense, but
yeah,
it's annoying sometimes. So on June 25th, 1990, Ronald Gene Simmons died by lethal injection. He refused all visitors, including legal counsel and clergy, and like he refused visitors for like months beforehand.
Mm-hmm. Not that anyone probably wanted to see him.
Exactly. His last meal was an 8-ounce filet mignon, well done, gross, 2 raw onions, tomato slices, a banana, 6 rolls, 6 slices of cheese, and 2 cans of 7-Up. And this was actually the same exact last meal that he had eaten before when he thought he was going to be executed and he got the stay.
Right.
His last words were, "Justice delayed, finally be done in justifiable homicide." And his execution started at 9:02 p.m. and he was pronounced dead 17 minutes later. None of his remaining family members would claim the body. Good. And he was buried in a common grave at the Lincoln Memorial Lawn. And at the time, and I believe at this time still, it is considered to be the biggest killing spree in Arkansas and is still the largest familial murder in U.S. history with 14 family members dead.
Yeah.
That's nuts.
Merry Christmas, I guess.
Right? So heavy for Christmas, yeah. But, you know, people do shitty things over Christmas.
They do. And, like, what else are we going to do? JonBenet Ramsey?
Right?
That one would just... I don't want to get sued, you know? That's my thing with JonBenet.
I want that case to be solved so badly so we can, like, just shit on whoever did it, yeah. You know?
I don't think that case is ever going to be officially solved.
I don't think so.
It's one of those. But... Yeah, this case is pretty crazy. I was telling Sarah before we started that I think for such a momentous murder in U.S. history that it lacks a lot of information on it, but I think it's because our killer didn't give us any.
That's true. Yeah, he didn't confess about why he did it and stuff like that.
The police, I believe, at one point said that he literally didn't talk. His bottom lip just quivered when they asked about his family.
That's the grossest thing I've ever heard.
So he just, like, couldn't give anybody an answer as to why he did the things that he did.
Yeah, and honestly, I'd never heard of this case until you brought it to my attention.
I thought that I had heard of this case, and then I went to the podcast that I thought I had heard it on and was totally unable to find it, and then searched all of my podcasts that I like and was unable to find it, and was like, I guess I made it up. But there might just be, like, another crazy spree killer that I was thinking
That's
of.
That's true.
But we don't do a lot of spree killers either, which is why I found this case to be interesting.
Yeah, it's like a mix. It's a mixture of a family annihilator and a spree killer.
Yeah, yeah, it's definitely an interesting one. But we hope that you guys enjoyed this for Christmas. Yes. Sorry that it is a little bit of a shorter episode, but, you know, we also got to celebrate the holidays ourselves.
Exactly.
Got to give ourselves a little break. So, if you liked this, leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcast or wherever else you can figure out to leave a review somewhere. Shout it into the void. I don't know.
For real. Also, check us out on social media, on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, all that jazz, and our website, which is crimebinge.com.
Yeah, and you can leave submissions there if you want, which is super fun. Our boy Malachi be submitting.
All the time. I love that guy.
Yeah, Malachi's our friend. He doesn't make... They might not know it, but they're our friend.
Merry Christmas. Happy holidays.
Happy holidays.
The next episode will be on New Year's Day.
Yeah, so another holiday.
Exactly. So look out for us on the day that 2020 ends.
Yes. Dear God. Let it be over. Yeah, this is our last full episode of 2020.
It is.
Look at us fucking go.
Hell yeah.
We got through it. Alive, but barely.
Yes.
All of the cliches. How many more can we say?
Also, I feel like we should shout out that next week we will have a mini-sode, so look out for that.
Oh, yeah. Next week we will have our December mini-sode, where we will be covering all of the crazy shit that happened in December. And by all of it, we mean a very small margin, because so many crazy things happen every day, it'd be physically impossible to do that.
Yes.
But we hope you guys enjoyed this episode, and keep on binging. Bye.
See ya.
Merry Christmas. Happy holidays.
I was going to be like, at the end, do you want to say Merry Christmas at the same time? And then forgot to ask you and was just waiting for it to happen.
Okay, that's fair. That's fair. I do that all the time. Should we say Merry Christmas at the same time now?
Merry Christmas.
And
Merry Christmas.